to everyone that believeth. He is available and He will not let you down. He is faithful, who has promised. He's engraven your name in the palms of His hand, never to forget you. He will be with you to the end of the age. You can trust God. He will not let you down if you will submit unto Him in faith. If you will submit unto Him in faith believing. Jesus said, you receive not because you ask not. Let him not doubt according to your faith, so be it unto you. What I would like each of you to do, if you're having any trouble in receiving any of these things that are being brought, I would like you to get on your knees before God and say, Lord, I want to be fair about this matter. If I need a deliverance, I want to know about it. I don't want to just cloud it over. If I am wrong, if you're doing a new thing and I find it difficult to move into it, if an enemy inside of me is making me skeptical or doubtful, I don't want to listen to him. And Father, I want to open to you and be honest within myself, and I want to say this. Lord, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But I don't want to just say stubbornly, if I'm wrong, correct me and don't open my heart. But Lord, I want to open my mind and heart. Lord, why is it that all these years I've tried to serve you, I can't seem to serve you? What areas did the devil have possession of me? And I have rationalized it by saying I'm not willing. Why am I not willing? Is there a spirit making me not willing? Is there a spirit that wells up in me and causes me to have these certain feelings that I feel at times? Am I being too judgmental? Is there a judgmental spirit within? Is there a critical spirit? Is there a doubting spirit? A suspicious spirit? What happens? Is there a feisty spirit? Is there a mocking spirit? Is there a sarcastic spirit? Lord, reveal. Expose this thing if it is. Because I don't want to have it anymore. If others are getting delivered from these areas and I'm not, Lord, show me this thing. I want to open my heart to it. And be praying and waiting upon God. And look at every scripture brand new all over again and say, now, assuming this thing is true, how would I read these scriptures and see if they will be all right? And go at it from that way. I need to make one announcement. We'd like to have the ushers come at this time. You may be seated. Deliverance leaders and assistants must sign up at information desk stating the times that they will be able to pray during the upcoming week. Sign up is available after every service. Also, there is no service tomorrow in spite of what the bulletin says. Monday, there is no service. In the evening, there's no service. That's banquet night, college banquet. There's no service tomorrow, deliverance service, but there will be starting Tuesday. Thank you, music ministry. You may be seated. I am so thankful for what God is doing. We have a little bit of time this morning for testimonies. I'm going to tell you, if you've been coming on Sunday mornings, and you've been missing Sunday nights especially, and also Friday nights, you're missing a lot of what God is doing. There just isn't the opportunity in the morning. You're getting the teaching, but you're not getting seeing the testimonies and hearing them that you really need to hear. And sometimes the freedom and the worship and the beauty and the service is just so marvelous as we have more opportunity in the evenings. And I want you to be able to, I think you should come to every service that you can. Every service that you can. And get into all that God is doing that He can. And that means also deliverance services as well. God bless you. Do scripture. Don't bother looking it up. Romans 7:14 and 2:25 and chapter 8:1. For we know that the law is spiritual. Thou shalt not do this, you shall do this, and so forth. It's spiritual, this whole law. But I am carnal, natural man, sold under sin. The devil is the ruler. We're sold. He's the god of this world. For we know, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't allow that, but I do it. For what I would, that do I not. Those things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. But what I hate, that do I. Now, no soul does what it hates of its own accord. We do what we want to do. But that thing which I hate with my spiritual man, and in my mind, in my heart, I don't want to do that. But I find myself doing the thing that I hate. Have you ever had that experience? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law says don't do it, and I do it anyway, then the law must be good. Now then, it is no more I that do it. It is no more I that do it. I am doing something, but it's not I that's doing it. But sin that dwelleth in me. Now, there's no such thing as an object called sin. Sin is an act. It's an act of disobedience to God. Disobedience is an act. Disobedience doesn't live inside you. Disobedience is something that you do. He's talking of the root of that disobedience. He's talking about that demon of rebellion, demon of stiff neck, demon of lust, demon of whatever, demon of pride. He's talking about the very source of the disobedience that's dwelling within you. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, man, my lower nature, dwelleth no good thing. But to will is present with me. I have a will in my mind. It's present. I do decide I want to do what God wants me to do and follow the law of God. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Are we equating? For I know, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That spirit of disobedience, in any one of its forms, that's dwelling in me, it is doing it. And I'm just following it. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Evil is present. That evil spirit that I've opened up to all my life. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that is the spiritual man, delights in God's law. I love it. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. There's another law in my members, in my body, not outside, inside, warring against my spiritual man. And he's inside. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In my body, there is a warfare going on. In my, I'm body, soul, and spirit. And in my spirit, there's a law that delights in God's laws and the work of God. But there's a law of sin. There is a disobedience. There are spirits of disobedience. They're within the members and they're warring against my mind and my inner man, my spiritual man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Or this body, death-doomed body, this body that's headed for separation. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how. I thank God that it's through Jesus Christ, through Him dying on Calvary, we can get rid of that disobedience that's inside of us, warring against us. There's not just something called disobedience. There's a spirit behind that disobedience. The Bible talks about the spirit of disobedience that worketh in the children of men, so forth. The spirit of disobedience. There isn't something called disobedience. That's an act. But there's a spirit, and that spirit of disobedience is in you. Not disobedience. Whenever there's disobedience in you, there's a spirit of disobedience in you. Disobedience does not exist without the spirit of disobedience. Because disobedience is the act. The spirit is the thing that causes it. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. With my decision. But with the flesh man, the lower nature, the law of sin, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore Because with my mind, because with my decision, I serve the law of God. Even though in my body, in the members, there's this law of sin that worketh in me, even though it comes and pushes me and forces me, there is no condemnation. For to be carnally minded, desiring this carnal, yielding to these disobedient spirits, until that's your mind. You've decided that. That's your mind. To be carnally minded is death, spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you have a mind, spiritual mind, even though there's another law working within you and that disobedience working within you, you've still got life and peace through Jesus Christ. We wouldn't need him to die on the cross for us if we could just manage ourselves and overcome these evil spirits. We've allowed him to be entrenched, but praise God, he's driving them out. Then after driven out, you have to exercise caution to keep them out. Some people wondered, why haven't we had any of these demonic manifestations before? We have. We've had hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Ever since I've been pastor here. People haven't recognized many of them. They just haven't named it that. Let me give you an example that happened about 10 years ago. We've had lots of them. I've told you before. Make it very short. This girl that came in, she was saved. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. She used to get up to the pulpit and just enthusiastically tell how Jesus saved her, and I filled the Holy Ghost, and she'd go on with a glow on her face, and the joy of the Lord was in her heart. One day she came to me, looking absolutely, totally deadpan, like a dead person practically, saying, I knew something was instantly wrong with her, and I said, what's the matter? And she said, I don't think I'm saved. And I said, what do you mean you don't think you're saved? She said, I don't love God. I said, oh, I don't know what her name was. I said, you do too love God. What have you been testifying about all this time? I said, that's a lie from the devil. She said, I don't think I have ever loved God. I said, you couldn't be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit if you never loved God. You wouldn't be coming to service. You wouldn't be testifying of the joy of the Lord. This is a lie. She was in such bad shape, we took her to a home. And in the home, she walked on this heavy, demonic, cloud under heavy oppression. I'm totally lost. All of a sudden, that spirit came on her life. I don't know how it got in. And my wife and I would lay hands on her, and we rebuked that spirit in the name of Jesus, and I'd speak truth in her ear, some scripture truth, and that spirit would lift. And she would laugh in the spirit, and her eyes would clear up, and her face would clear up, and she'd laugh and rejoice that she was free, and how blind, that thing isn't true at all, it's a lie. But about 15 minutes later, he would come back, and she would didn't know enough not to fight it, and she would accept it, it'd come back into her. And 15 minutes later, she was going through the very same thing. And we'd go back on and do that thing over and over again. And each time we would do it, it would come back longer, it would stay shorter, and pretty soon the thing was gone and never came back. We released her, and she's been fine ever since. I can tell you lots of people that have done a lot of demonic things. Lots of them. Things have welled up inside of them. Skepticism, angers, various things. They've cut up and slashed their blood up and down. I mean, things have happened. They wanted to run. They wanted to leave. They didn't know what was happening to them. That's all. The demons have been manifesting themselves. But now, when you really get down and discover, and you really begin to put pressure on them, and you really begin to put pressure to get them all out and expose them, now they're fighting. I mean, now they come back lashing. They prefer to be underground, because then they keep operating, because you just think it's you and your Irish ancestors and your difficulties and your unwilling spirits, and just go on and on. But once you find out and expose who's doing it, and you don't have to have it, now he surfaces, and now he battles. And this is not something new. It's just that we didn't really realize at that time how to carry it to its full conclusion. We tried to just claim, we rebuked the devil, we carried it in the Lord, we claimed the Lord's work. God did come. He saved thousands by his Spirit. He sent ministering angels many times. He's helped his people through many things. But we have had a lot more demonic responses than we ever even imagined we have. And all those things that you had, didn't realize where they were all coming from. And a lot of you do know it's from the devil, but we thought it was more abstract. Well, the devil, whoever, somehow he just does that to me. But we haven't realized that thing has been invited in, and he's there, and until we get rid of him, he's going to keep on working. Haven't seen it quite in that same light. So it's not a brand new thing. It's just that it's surfacing now and fighting back, and God's trying to force them to expose themselves, to clean house in these last days, and we're coming to realize more how to deal with it, and that's why we're seeing it as it is. Man, you may be seated. I'm speaking this morning on defeating the forces of evil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning, and he that commits it, he is of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was made visible. He surfaced. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Or as the Concordant Version says, annul the doings of the adversary. To annul it. Now Jesus came to overturn. He came to make null and void. He came to put down. He came to bring to naught. He came to remove. He came to break all that the devil was doing. John said that Jesus was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he said he's our comforter. That's what John said. And Paul said, Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's no hope in us, no glory in us, when we are listening to demonic spirits. We can't have glory. We can't have hope. When they are bombarding us, there isn't hope, no glory. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 14 says this, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil had the power of death. Now, not natural death of all men would naturally die because of the devil from the beginning, but also spiritual death. Not only spiritual death in the believer's life, but also that eternal separation death. The devil had the power. Men were dying because of the devil. They couldn't eat of the tree of life anymore. Jesus has come to give us the tree of life that we might live forever. He that believeth in me should never die. Believest thou this? There will be no eternal separation. There will be no spiritual death within. You will be caught up. You won't even die naturally. You'll live forever. The way to discard the devil is to make him of no effect. And the way to do that is through the death of Christ. Now, and that means going through death with Christ, to die with Christ, buried with Christ in baptism, the scripture says. We are to die with Christ. That's through death with Christ, to die with Christ, buried with Christ in baptism, the scripture says. We are to die with Christ. That's what he said, take up your cross and follow me. To what? To death. To death itself. Paul said in Philippians, all that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his the sufferings of death. Death. Being made conformable unto his death. You cannot have resurrection power until you have died out. So he's crying out, oh, that I might know him and have that power. And he realized he still had to die out yet, fully. He count not himself to have apprehended, but one thing he did, he's looking not back, but he's reaching for those things that lay before. Deny yourself and take up his cross and follow him. Now, that means that's an experiential follow-on of water baptism. Water baptism is the legal going down into death and rising in newness of life. The act ratifies your repentance and faith in your conversion experience, and you are now legally saved by faith in the grace of God. But now he is calling us not to just be baptized and wash away our sins and to be legally clean, but to experientially take up our cross and follow him. That's not legal, that's experiential. Now that you've died legally, now start on the march to dying experientially. Satan is a defeated foe through Christ on Calvary. And we need to constantly demonstrate this fact in our lives. Our lives need to constantly glorify God by demonstrating that Christ has defeated the devil. And we can only demonstrate that by living out this, by taking up a cross, denying ourselves, and following him. Otherwise, you can't even be his disciple, the scripture says. Meaning you cannot be what he is, growing up into him. The Holy Spirit is in us to give us power to demonstrate this to the world. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. For what? To disciple all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he said, this sign shall follow them that believe. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out demons and I'll protect you and so forth. We are to demonstrate this to the world, showing signs and wonders that they might believe and also come into the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and be saved. We are to demonstrate Satan's defeat in our own life. I want to read John 16:8 in the Amplified Version. And when he comes, speaking of the Holy Ghost, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, and about judgment. When the Holy Ghost comes, the Holy Spirit will bring the demonstration of this in our life. That's what he's here for. So we can yield to him in our spiritual man. Therefore, we will be continually walking in the Spirit that he might have chance to demonstrate the overcoming of Christ over the devil in our own life. Therefore, we are to mortify the flesh in the Spirit, not without the Spirit. Now, look at verse 12 here. Just listen to him. John said this, I have still many things to say unto you, but you are not able to bear them, nor to take them upon you, nor to grasp them now. Now, this gospel was written long after Calvary, long after that. And writing to the church, he said, I have still many things to say, but you can't bear them now. You can't even grasp them now. You know what that means? That means what they are to learn, they cannot learn by reading the Gospel of John, because they couldn't bear them now. When he wrote this epistle, they could not handle them. Now he's talking to the believer. He's not saying, well, in 2 months you can, or in 3 years you can. He is saying, believers in general, the day is coming when you are to heal something that you cannot heal right this now. Now, maybe they were able later to receive some things they couldn't even then, but this was a long time after Calvary and after Pentecost when he wrote this. You see, it isn't all found in the book of John. Let's look at verse 13, the very next verse. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For He will not speak of His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare unto you the things that are come that will happen in the future. Now, what I'm saying is, what it's saying is this. John says, I have got many things to tell you, but I can't tell you at this late gospel age, because you are not, in this dispensation, able to bear them. So I'm not going to be able to tell you now. The way you're going to hear it is from the Holy Ghost. And He's going to come, and He's going to bring it to you. And down through the ages, and even at the end of the ages, the Holy Ghost will bring it. That means you will not find it in your Bible. Don't get the idea that everything is in this Bible. True, nothing must be contrary to it, because God never contradicts Himself. But God has promised that the Holy Ghost shall teach you. And that God has promised that He will show us things to come, and He's promised us that things that they couldn't even receive at that time will understand later. In fact, John said that I speak to you now in parables, but the time will come and can show you plainly of the Father. I can't show you right now. And so you don't read it now. It's not in it. You can't find it there. The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. You see, God Himself, who moved on men to write this, has a right to move on men to preach and to know and to reveal and to lead and to guide. Well, how do we know it's the Lord? Well, how do we know this is the Lord? Our spirit bears witness. It's according to the things of God. He has written this. We've decided to believe the book, haven't we? Because it works. And if the other is in harmony with it, even though it's got some things in it that's not found here, much of what the Holy Ghost does is not found in the Bible. You don't find anything in the Bible about Sunday schools. And yet God led people to start Sunday schools because they weren't getting enough of the Word. You don't find a lot of things. The Holy Ghost has done many, many things. The details are not found. You don't even know how to operate a church by this. Didn't tell you what happened in the services. Didn't tell you how to run them. The Holy Ghost comes down. He's given administrations and governments to make decisions, and the Spirit of God to reveal and to comfort and so forth in the hour when you need it. And it's of God just as much as if you read it. Now, what is not of God is not of God, and we do check all things to the Word to see whether it be contrary, but not to see if you can find it. Otherwise, you have to throw away, you know, 3/4 of what God is doing, plus your church services and all kinds of things. I mean, certain things in church services. Because the Spirit of God, because the Word of God doesn't tell us, but the Spirit of God does. I want you to understand that, because many people are getting trapped because of that. If they can't see all the examples of everything the Holy Ghost wants to do. For example, there has been angelic spirits seen. But the Bible doesn't say that any place, so I disagree with that. You can't disagree. They're right there. If you see them, you see them. You can disbelieve, but you can't disprove it from the Bible because there's no example of it. You can't disprove it from where the Bible is silent. The Scripture already says itself that if all the things that Jesus said and done were recorded, the world isn't going to be big enough to hold the books. That means we have very little of what He said. In fact, we've got very little of what the apostles preached. Very little. You know, you just get a tiny little page of what Titus wrote. That's all he did in his whole life? His ministry was over? What did Andrew write? What did he ever preach? Didn't he ever preach anything? He was an apostle. What did Barnabas preach? Somebody stand up and quote me a verse. Quote me just one line of what he wrote. You can't tell because it's not written, but yet he preached. Paul preached for hours, one place, one night. He preached all night long until one man fell out the window dead, and he got up and he kept on preaching. And still, we don't have that message. We don't know all the things. We just have a slight glimpse. The Holy Ghost has come to teach us, lead us on. They were just in the beginning in the way. Jesus is desirous that we show forth that He has overcome the world, and that we have overcome the world too in Him. We read in 1 Timothy 4:1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Demons will come to seduce Christians. They will come seducing you, and they will work to seduce you. And if you open up to them, they will draw you away from the truth. What is the truth? That Jesus has come to set the captive free, to get rid of demonic spirits, to give us joy, to give us glory, to give us praise. Some people are afraid of praise services. They're taking a stand against praise services. My friend, you better watch out lest you be like those who take a stand against tongues. You dry up. When people start loving God and praising God, people start clapping, dancing, singing, whatever they're doing, you get weird, and you don't like the manifestations. It's different than what you've heard before. You better watch out. There's been a progressive move from the Reformation on up, and it's going to keep changing and keep moving. God keeps doing new things. God is never stagnant. He doesn't operate just like he did in Luther's time or not at all. He's on the move, and we better move with him. And if it glorifies Jesus and the fruits are good, you better take it. And all these people that want to glorify the hands-down, stilted state, all they're doing is listening to demons within that are afraid to let them get unbound and loosened up and love and praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, I just got to reading that. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. This is not doctrines about demons. Oh, isn't that what you're doing? No. These are not talking about doctrines about demons. These are doctrines from demons. He's not warning you against doctrines about demons. He's warning you about doctrines and spirits seducing you off to sin that come from demons. And why would he do that if you were not open to that? I want to read a testimony from Dr. John Osteen's book called How to Demonstrate Satan's Defeat. This man was a Southern Baptist, baptized in the Holy Ghost a number of years ago. And it's an interesting testimony, a little bit long, but I think you'll be informative, and I think you'll enjoy it. I know experientially what it is to contend with the devil in the arena of life. Now, this is a good man of God, a minister of the gospel. He will try every way possible to defeat you. And unless you learn how to conquer him, you could go through an entire lifetime dominated by fear. You have got to know how to conquer him. You've got to know what he's up to. You've got to know he's there in the first place so you can conquer him. He's underground. Listen to this man of God. Now listen, a lot of things you go through. Defeats, drops in your ministry, things against you, all kinds of sicknesses, ideas, thoughts. A lot of things. They're caused by demons fighting you. And unless you are not ignorant, to say that right, of his devices, you're going to be trapped. We cannot be ignorant of what he's doing. We've got to see clearly. To be forewarned is to be half-armed. A few years ago, God visited me in a vision. He showed me a conflict with Satan in three arenas. One was a lesser battle, another a stronger battle, and in the third one, I was in the presence of Satan himself. I called him the evil genius of this world, the prince of this world, because he sat like a genius on a pedestal in a small room in his vision. He seemed to sit in a sense of dignity and power. In this vision, I stood by the door. There was a man trying to get to the door to get out of the room where the devil was. He was clawing and swimming through the air, moving his legs and arms slowly, trying to go to that door. He was really struggling and trying to get out, but he was not gaining any ground. You ever been like that in a dream, trying to run, you can hardly move? Well, that's what a lot of people are in the spiritual life. Just trying to get out, they can just hardly get out. Like this vision. Satan was looking at him. He was holding him with his eyes. Just looking at him as if to say, you cannot get out. I have put you in my power. And a lot of Christians are feeling that way. I can't get out. He's put me in his power. I want to let you know there's a day of deliverance, and this is the hour of deliverance. This is the way God is moving at this time to deliver his people. have hope. I watched the situation, the vision, for a while. I saw that Satan did not move a hand, but just held the man in his power by looking at him. Those in the kingdom of darkness are under his rule. As I stood there on this visitation, anger welled up inside of me. As I realized that the man could not get out of there, I said, "Well, I will walk out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I walked out of there immediately in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, I did not realize that God was showing me that Satan was going to attack me at three levels. I was to go through a tremendous time of oppression and satanic attack. Remember the scripture says, "Brethren, think it not strange when some fiery trial comes upon you." This fiery trial, why? Don't think it's strange. The devil hates you. It's not because you've been doing anything wrong. It's just because he hates you. And God is allowing you, like his perfect servant Job, to be tested. So win. And realize you're fighting a battle. God and the devil are both fighting in the battlefield of your mind over you. They both want you, and you are the contest prize. I had pushed myself pretty hard in the Lord's work. You can be so busy for God that you do not have any time for God. You can be so religious that you do not truly seek God. You need to have time for reading your Bible and praying in a greater depth. Though I was in a time of intense, horrible, satanic oppression, God was teaching me. One day as I drove down the highway, I broke out weeping. It just seemed as if all the forces of hell came against me, as if my nervous system collapsed. I felt as if all my glands went out of order. It was the most peculiar feeling. Something happened. I suddenly felt guilty about everything. I did not know that the devil was doing all this to me. I should have, but you see, the devil is a deceiver. I knew in a general sense that all bad things were from the devil. I was a preacher of the gospel, but at that time in my life, I did not realize that all hell had been let loose on me. I went from bad to worse. This continued for months. I felt the very presence of hell and demons of every kind. See, had he known what he knew later, he could have shortened the time. And so can a lot of you. Every evil force came against me. All initiative left me. Everything was too big to think about. A little task would cause me to weep because it seemed totally and absolutely impossible to do. Satanic forces in the presence of demons encompassed me. Fear came on me. It was such hellish fear that I had never imagined could exist. I want to tell you, in the hour of fiery trials, one, be armored up. Two, remember the word of God and the things which you have heard. And run to Jesus, and when you don't know what to do and can hardly even breathe to pray, you call a brother and say, "Get help for me." All initiative was gone. I guess I read that. All initiative was gone. Fear would grip me regarding every area of my life. My devil told me I had a brain tumor. The devil told me I had a fatal illness. Then the devil told me I was dying of an unknown incurable disease. Sleep went from me. Insomnia is a terrible thing. When morning would come, I would wish for night. When night would come, I would long for morning. My heart would pound like it would come out of me. I was not a baby Christian. I was a minister that needed to use the word of God. So here I was in this situation. Let me add this. Weigh very carefully all prophecy. Now, some people will say, "But I don't like to have bad. I don't like to think of all this." Whether you'd like it or not, the devil is going to fight you. "I don't want battles." If you don't have them, if the communists won't, if they can't take underground, they'll take above ground. But if they don't have to fight above ground, they'll fight underground. They'll take the country underneath. They'll take you underneath, and you'll never know it until the flag is raised and your flag comes down. They're going to get you one way or another, unless you fight them. And they're easier to fight when you see them and know where they are, and know they're there. Let me add this. Weigh very carefully all prophecy. Do not receive prophecy from any person without first comparing it to the Word of God. Be careful any time prophecy dominates you, puts you under fear, and makes you apprehensive about disobeying that prophecy. Beware of it. Some people have been held in bondage of a false prophecy for years. Prophecy is to edify, exhort, and comfort. It's not to scare you. While all this oppression was upon me, I was trying to minister. I was planning a speaking trip when a man came to me and prophesied. He prophesied that he had seen a vision of me getting on an airplane. I had planned to fly on my trip. He said he saw the plane rising up in the air and bursting into flames and coming down with a crash. I took the train. Our first mistake that I made was that I took the train. Now, I am not certain whether he's right in this area or not. There's two possibilities. One is God warned a man, and he took the train, but then he allowed the demon of fear to come in. And then instead of saying, okay, I'll take the train, void one airplane, go back to airplane flying after that, and if God was faithful to warn me on one airplane when it was going to go down, he'd warn me on others. But in retrospect, this airplane didn't go down. So I showed the thing to be wrong. The Bible says if a prophet does not come to pass, then don't believe that prophet. But you see, at first you may not know. So you say, well, I don't know, so I'll do this. But then I go right back to it again. Don't let the spirit of fear come in. On the other hand, the devil will come in at times and try to, you know, get you to, on a long way around and make difficulty for you. And sometimes you need to say, I'm going to just trust in God anyway. You have to discern whether or not, and you have to make it a matter of prayer, and you have to come to grips with this thing and find out, is God trying to warn you of something, or is the devil trying to put fear upon you? And then part of the answer comes in, what's the safe way? What would happen if I don't do this? What happens if I do? And can I still accomplish the mission God sends me on and so forth? But anyway, regardless, we'll go on with this. And he may be, and in this case, he did make a mistake, undoubtedly, because the plane did not crash. The first mistake I made was I took the train. I acted on fear. See, instead of acting on faith in God and so forth, after having prayed over the matter and so forth, I acted on fear. When you act on fear, you get worse. Fear activates Satan's power. Faith activates God's power. We are to demonstrate that Satan is defeated. God has given us his word. We are to remain in the arena of battle with his word until we make up our minds to use it and deliver ourselves by the power of the Holy Ghost. Such a hellish fear of flying came upon me. When I acted on that fear and took the train, a fear of flying engulfed me. When you act on fear, fear takes possession of you. I had such a hellish fear of flying that the very thought of flying made me break out in cold sweat. Fear is the devil's tool. Never act on fear. Never act on fear. Fear is a vapor, a lie. This condition existed for several months. I closed my offices. I began to seek God. I could not sleep at night. I could not teach or preach often. I had a terrible fear of everything possible, sickness, disease, fear of flying. I could not hear from heaven. I felt like God was 10 million miles away. I felt separated from God. I could not grasp anything in the Word of God. I could not reach the throne of God in prayer. Satan was all around me. That's the time discerning Christians are supposed to rush to people's side and not wait for them. They're in trouble. You should rush to them and help them and not take a quick, well, no, I'm all right, or no thanks, or I don't want help. We should not be so pussyfooty. They need help. When we see they need help, we should rush in not to crowd them and push them, but to undergird them and not taking so quick no answer, but put love and help underneath, lift them up and carry them and heal them. I thank God that while I was in this situation, there was a man that came all the way from Fort Worth, Texas to Houston to encourage me. He came before I ever heard from God. He told me God sent me by here. Thank God for people sensitive enough to hear God's voice and do what God sends them to do. You know, people say, God led me to do that, but I held it off for weeks. Don't hold it off. You're putting them in misery. God sent you on an errand. Go. I had not told anybody about my terrible situation. I really could not explain in natural terms what I was going through then. It was a spiritual battle. Somebody needed to discern it and go to him. This man came to me and told me that he had been through a similar experience. God had brought him out of it. He said to me, Brother Austin, you will be all right. I have been where you are now. God brought me out and he'll bring you out too. It was the sweetest sentence I could ever hear. I never dreamed at that time I would ever be all right. But God wanted me to know that he would bring me through. See, the devil was mad at him. The devil's mad at you. He's mad at me. He will fight us. God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. What he's done for me, he will do for you. He will bring you through also. Hope was in my heart, but I was not out yet. One day I was weeping before God. I said, Lord, what in the world is the matter with me? God, why don't you heal me? Lord, why haven't you rescued me? God wanted me to become a preacher of faith. He wanted me to take the word of God and help the children of God rise up. He wanted me to be able to unfold the truths that I'm now showing. He wanted me to be a helper to the body of Christ. The only way I could do this was to come out of it by the word of God. If God had run to my rescue and lifted me up like a baby, I would still be a baby. There comes a time when God says, you're grown up. I have more confidence in you than you have in yourself. I'm going to prove to you in the field of battle with the word of God. The Holy Ghost in you will bring a demonstration of Satan's defeat. This is the reason why some of you have not felt your prayers have been answered. This is why some of you are still suffering. This is why some of you are wondering why God has not heard you. He is letting you know who you really are. God is good. I might add, he also wants you to find out who he is. More than an abstract, found in a book, good storytelling. He is a God that will move, trades nations for you, and will move heaven and earth to move in your direction when you believe him and begin moving on the realms of faith and in a fell faith realm. Not a theoretical dead faith, but a living faith. Step out on the water and go. God is good. God will visit you. He will speak to your heart to help you. While I was kneeling, praying, and crying, God said, what about the visitation I gave you many months ago? Remember the vision about the three arenas of battle? When God visits you, you do not forget it. Spiritual things are eternal. Up to that time, I had never once connected that visitation with my present situation. God says in his word, before you call, I will answer. Isaiah 65:24. In his mercy and in his love, he had visited me and prepared me beforehand. Now he reminded me of that visitation. So I reflected on all of those things that God has taken me through. If God's given you a vision, and someday you're in a certain place, remember the vision. Of being there in three arenas with the devil, I recall how I recall that I was by the door. I had stood up straight like a soldier. I had said, I will walk out of here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that in the vision I had just walked out. The Lord said to me, son, you are in the third arena right now. You are in the presence of the prince of this world. He is fear incarnate. He is torment incarnate. You are in that place enclosed with him tormenting you. You saw yourself rise up like a soldier and march out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Now do it. Sometimes you have to do experientially what you've been told and what you know. Thank God I acted upon what God said. I rose from my knees, wiped the tears away, and set my face like a flint towards victory. I did not feel victory, but in my heart I accepted it as a fact already realized. That's outward faith being made manifest. That's dead faith being made living faith. Every outward circumstance and symptom remained the same, but in my heart I was healed. I knew I was delivered. My business was to walk out of this situation. Slowly but surely, I begin to come out of it. I want to say that to you that there's no easy way out of a situation like this, but there is a way out. I was in a situation once where I felt like the hole was so deep that there's no way. There was absolutely no way. And you know what I did? I said, I remembered the scripture, and I remembered how it was in the Greek. And I basically said, Lord, there's no way out of this hole. But when there's no way, you can make a byway. If there's no way, you make a way, because with God, all things are possible. And that got me out. Because I believed that the impossible could be done by God, I asked God to do the impossible, and I was out. Very short order. What did I do? I turned back to the Word of God and began to get the revelation I needed from the Bible. During those weeks and months of meditating upon the Word, I began to learn what Christ had purchased for me. I began to understand who I was in Christ. See, you can do lots of preaching, but there comes a day you have to make it yours. You can hear it a lot, but there comes a day you've got to make it yours. I began to comprehend my position of power and authority over demon forces. Something began to rise up within me because of this revelation. You see, it is truth that sets you free. I want to emphasize to you that you cannot be free and stay permanently free until you know what Christ has done for you in defeating Satan. You need to know who you are in Christ and your authority and place of power in Christ. You must act upon the truth and drive Satan away yourself. You can demonstrate Satan's defeat. The Holy Ghost is in you to bring that demonstration. Well, let me continue telling you about my own situation. I began to fill my spirit and mind full of the Word of God. I began to confess who I was in Christ. I began to say daily what God said about me as a new creature. I returned to the place where I'd acted on the fear of flying. I knew that I had to demonstrate Satan's defeat in this area where I'd left him where I let him dominate me. I decided to take a trip by airplane. It was hard. It was so hard. Satan is fear incarnate. Fear has torment. He told me the plane would fall. He told me that I would never see my wife and children again. But I was determined to act in my faith just as I had acted on fear. I knew that acting on fear had activated Satan. I knew that if I would act on faith, it would activate God. I remember my mother had a fear of flying. She had never flown and she would never fly. And when she went to California to visit her son, she would take these long automobile trips. And I tried to get her to fly. I quoted statistics and driving miles and flying miles, and I did all of this, and zero. But she got so bad in her back, and she got so bad, and she wanted to see her children and grandchildren so badly, and the thought of a 17-hour drive in absolute agony, whatever it was so much, that when I told her, I was working with the Boeing company, that I had an opportunity on a delivery flight to take a free flight, my entire family, and take them down when they delivered the airplane, and you can go too. I said, we'll be there in just about 2 hours. 2 hours versus, you know, two, three days of driving. And she had to come to a decision. And she came before the Lord. My mother has great power and strength of faith when she comes before the Lord. And she came and said, Lord, I commit myself, my safety, my life into your hands. And she made a decision. She came to her cross. Airplane wings, the body. And she made the decision. And so we were on the airplane. And I was trying to, we got in the airplane waiting for takeoff. And I was trying to console my mother, make sure she wouldn't be scared. I said, now, Mom, when you hear a thump, that's just the wheels coming up into locked position. And you hear a second thump, that's just the wheel well doors coming up. You'll hear a whir, you know, that's just the hydraulic motors and so forth. And you'll see, if you see what looks like fire flashing out on the engine, that's just the blinker light on top of the airplane flashing a red light as it goes around on the engine. And she looked at me rather impressed and she says, well, that's all right, I have no fear, there's no problem. She'd committed it. She was so relaxed. She enjoyed the flight immensely, walked around, looked out the window, talked about it, and after she said, this is the greatest experience of my life. In the natural, she meant. Now you understand that I did not feel like flying. But it does not matter what you feel like. Just act like God told you the truth. When you act on fear, you are saying by your actions that Satan is mightier than God. When you act on the word of God in faith against fear, you are saying God is greater than the devil. Remember, acting on fear activates Satan. But acting on the word of God in faith activates the power of God. As I went to the airport feeling so filled with anxiety, I thought I would surely have a four-engine jet that would, without doubt, safely get me to my destination in spite of what I felt. When I started to get on the plane, I saw that it was a rickety-looking two-engine propeller plane. My knees got weak and I almost fainted. I managed to get on that airplane. I sat down and immediately broke out in a sweat. But I know that Jesus, you say, that doesn't make sense. What the devil does to you, it never makes sense. But I know that Jesus smiled and the angels rejoiced because they saw my determination to act on God's word against Satan's fear. Jesus had deliberately left me in the arena of battle until I could take the sword of the Spirit and drive Satan away myself. I quoted the promise of God all the way there. I told Satan what God had promised. I resisted him steadfastly with God's word. I was to bring a demonstration that Satan was defeated. The plane landed safely. I felt fear all the way to my destination, but thank God I landed safely. The devil said, you'll never get back home unless you walk. When I returned on the same type of plane coming home, I did not feel God's presence. I felt fear. But I acted like God told me the truth. I acted like God told me the truth. See what you did. He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. He had said in his word that there shall no evil befall thee, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, Psalms 91:10 and 11. So I acted on those promises instead of on the devil's lies. Thank God we landed safely. Satan's power was broken over me, and since that time I have flown all over the world so many times I cannot keep count. I have flown to Europe many times, Africa, India, the Philippine Islands, New Zealand, and many other countries of the world. Now I get on an airplane, lie down, and go to sleep. I wake up refreshed in another country, for all fear has been driven away. I demonstrated Satan's defeat in my own life. Many of you have had the same battle with fear about cancer, your home, your husband, your family, and many things. Fear is torment. You cannot drive the enemy out by the word of God. You can drive the enemy out by the word of God in the name of Jesus. Rise up and act against the enemy. He will depart. The word of God says that when you resist the devil, he will flee in terror from you. James 4:7, Amplified Bible. You may wonder why you're in such a battle today. Why doesn't God rescue you? The Holy Ghost is in you to demonstrate that Satan is defeated foe. Satan will steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. God has left you on the field of battle with Satan to help you grow up. He wants you to learn the word of God, wield the sword of the Spirit, drive the devil away so you will know that the Holy Ghost works. He is inside of you in your battle to help you demonstrate Satan's defeat. As you become knowledgeable in God's word, you will find the assurance that Jesus defeated Satan in every area of life. Jesus went to the cross to conquer Satan for us. Let us take the victory by acting in faith on the word of God in our lives. Amen? If we don't and admit demonic spirits, if we don't act upon His word and we admit demonic spirits into our own lives, then we must cast them out in His name. But we should block them from coming in. I want to read you Ephesians 1:19-23 in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 1:19-23. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and in the world to come. Now, Christ is the pattern son, right? He's the pattern. And He has raised Him up because He demonstrated the working of God's mighty strength. And we ought to do the same. I want to read to you Philippians 2:5-10 in the Amplified Bible. Here it is. Listen. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Him be your example in humility. Now notice, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, the same attitude and purpose, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which makes God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped Himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or slave, and that He became like men and was born a human being. And after He had appeared in human form, He abased and humbled Himself still further and carried His obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because He stooped so low, God has highly exalted Him and has freely bestowed upon Him the name that is above every name, that in or at the name of Jesus every knee must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to read Colossians 1:13 also in the Amplified Bible. Colossians 1:13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Chapter 2:15. God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in it, that is the cross. See, Adam handed the keys of dominion over the earth to the devil when he disobeyed God. God said, he made man in his image. He said, have dominion over the earth. But when he disobeyed, he handed the keys of dominion over the earth over to the devil. Adam was no longer in dominion as ruler of this world. God wanted Adam to have dominion under God. But now he turned it over to Satan. Satan was now God of this world, and he held the keys. The devil showed Christ the keys. How did he get them? Adam gave them to him. And he said, follow me, and I will give you the kingdom of this world. How could he give the kingdom of the world? He showed Christ the keys. I've got the keys. I own this world. I will give you the kingdoms. I've got the keys to it. But Christ went to the cross. He gave up his will. He said, not my will, but thine be done. I had an emotion come up on me from the devil. He was contesting me. It wasn't a sin I was doing, but it was an emotion that I didn't want. I mean, it was an emotion that I wanted in the natural. An emotion that I couldn't know how I could really live without that emotion. When something happens, there's a kindred emotion. You know, like when you're hungry and you see a big turkey dinner, you get an emotion. When attack comes upon you, you get a feel emotion. And in this particular case, I did not want to give up this emotion in the natural. But in the spiritual man, I wanted to give up this emotion. And so I came wanting this emotion, but not wanting this emotion. Have you ever been there? And I got some intercessors around me, and I prayed with all my might. And I said, I come against you, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I don't want this thing that I want. I don't want it. I give up this thing that I want. I give up the emotion that comes upon me. I give up this thing. I give up the whole thing. I totally give up this thing, even though that is this thing I don't want to give it up. I give it up somehow. You know, you don't feel really willing to hand it over. But I was saying, take it away. I give it. I give it. I give it. I don't know how exactly, but I give it. Take it away. I give it. I will let loose of this thing. And you know, God broke that thing, and the pressure is gone. The emotion is gone. The whole thing is gone. Totally gone. It wasn't a sin, as I said. But it's an emotion that I did not need. It was because it was an emotion that would put pressure on me. But you see, the natural man wants to hold that emotion. When something happens, you want to hold that emotion. And I did not want the emotion for what happened. And in fact, I got to have the emotion. You can't have that without the emotion. It provokes the emotion. God took that thing away, and there's been no emotion since about that thing. He was even putting the emotion on you before the thing even happened. God took the thing away just like that. It's like this man, feel. He'll put feel on you before the event ever comes. Instead of waiting until it happens to get afraid, you're afraid all the time in between. God can take that emotion away from you so you have no feel. Christ went to the cross, he gave up his will, and God raised him from that which he feared. Well, he preached victory into the spirits that are in prison. Christ saying in Revelation 1:18, I have the keys of hell and of death. And then he took off the key ring, one key, and he handed it to Peter and said, here are the keys to the Gentiles. You go and lock the door to them. I've got the keys on the whole key ring of death and hell. From now on, I will decide the death of the saints. It's all in me. I will decide to raise Paul from the dead and leave Stephen. I will make the decision. Satan no longer has the decision. It's been taken from him. And God has left us with the mantle and the ministry of Christ, having given us God's word and God's spirit in order to carry on. But without faith, as the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, demonic spirits will take over and control you and rule you, put fear in you. They'll make you so that you can't testify. You can't do it. People will laugh at me. I'll blunder. I'll make a mistake. I can't do it. They'll choke you down to nothing if you let them. Because without faith, we cannot believe God. The devil binds us. He strips us. He robs us. He blinds us. When the blind man had the scales removed by Christ, what did he do? He leapt for joy. When those that are spiritually blind get the scales removed, they're going to be able to see as God intended for them to see. They shall leap for joy. God wants us to set the captives free. When we get all the spirits of skepticism and rationalizing and unbelief and doubting and fearing and pseudo-intellectualism and self-works and bondage, meaning no freedom in the spirit, and spiritual deadness and confusion and so forth out of us, we will, as Christ commissioned us, set the captive free. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, Jesus said. Leper, be cleansed. Legions of demons, come out of him. Daughter of Abraham, be made whole. This did the man of Galilee through the power of God as our example. This did the man of Galilee, called the Son of Man, through the power of God. Jesus said, the things I do not of myself, but my Father that dwelt within me, he doeth the works. In other words, this human vessel does not do it. It's God's power in me, the man that does it. But he had to speak the words. He had to have the faith. He had to take the initiative. He had to believe God. He had to step out. And he did, thank God. Thank God he did. And he says, greater works than these that I have done shall ye do because I go to my Father. Ye shall speak with new tongues. You shall cast out demons. These signs shall follow them that believe. The apostle spoke with authority. I want to read Colossians 2, 9 and 10 in the Concordant version. It says this, for in him the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of every sovereignty and authority, in whom you were circumcised also with a circumcision not made by hands, in the stripping off of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ, being entombed together with him in baptism, in which you were roused together through faith in the operation of God, who rouses him from the dead, you also being dead to the offenses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. We must begin to allow faith to operate. We have got to begin to allow faith to operate. Every time we feel an attack, every time we feel something coming on us, we must allow faith to operate. I was prayed for, you know, for a spirit of stress. I was having stress come upon me. And I went out, I ate a piece of banana, and I went out, just a half a banana, went out to hold the hunger back, went out to eat, and I felt pains come upon me, my stomach, terrible stress pains, and I didn't know if it was that banana. My father and my son, at least one of them, can't eat bananas. I always have been able to. But I've always been able to drink milk up until recently, too. And all of a sudden, I no longer have the lactase to break down the lactose in the milk without taking lactase enzymes. And so maybe that, and I didn't know. I said, well, maybe it was the devil. I'm learning a little bit now. I said, maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's not the banana. Maybe it's the devil. In fact, I probably thought it was the devil. And I said, maybe it's just hunger pains. So I went and I ate. And if I got through, I was still having terrible pains. In fact, it got worse. As I walked out of there, I was praying in my own mind, and I was praying. I said, Lord, heal me. I said, you said that if you drink any deadly poison, will not hurt you. Lord, if I've eaten this banana and it's poison to my system because of the way it is now, I come against it, and I shall be able to eat this banana without being hurt in the name of Jesus, on the authority of God's word. Furthermore, if it's the devil, demon of stress, I come against it in the name of Jesus, and I got praying. So my wife said, I just need to go lay down. We're going to go out to the park and lie down. It was just Saturday afternoon. It was a beautiful sunny day. And we're driving, and as I went, the thing just left me. What I'm saying is, I didn't just say, oh, well, I'm sick. I better go home or something. I took the decision. Every time anything happens, you find a flush of anger coming up you against your husband, against your children, you find something happening, stop and think what you're being taught. And take a hold of faith. And begin to take authority over it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch God come to your rescue. Ask him to send the angels of heaven to rescue you. You take a strong stand and God will rescue you. Don't be in fear. Do not be in fear. But if a fiery dart comes against you, put up shield of faith in God. Don't have your shield of faith down. Don't let it hit you and say, oh, I'm going to die. No, I'm not going to be able to do this. There goes my job. There goes my ministry. How am I going to make it? You put faith. And in the name of Jesus, God will see me through. I have a right. I take all over this. And if it's still hurting you, don't give up. You call the saints of God. You stand squarely against that. And you may have a contest. You may be sword fighting. You may be right in the arena. You stay there in the name of Jesus. You walk, you defeat the devil. You defeat the devil. You defeat the devil with the truth of God's word. Like Job, you stand right there. And the devil says, give up. You say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Like the feeble children, my God is able to deliver me, but if not, I will not bow. I stand in the name of Jesus. This is important because Satan is assailing, but we are more than conquerors. Call for help. You stand. Come against those. Identify those demon spirits. You command them. You get help. You will get delivered. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. I'd like to have a lot of good testimonies tonight. Why? Why do you gird up your loins when you're ready to do battle? Ready to run. Ready to move on. Putting off sleep and worldly entanglements. These things that so easily entangle us in running the race that Jesus Christ has set before us. I'd like to have